Professor Tim Flannery is the Chief Counsellor at the Climate Council and a distinguished visiting fellow at the Australian Museum in Sydney. He joined me earlier. Tim Flannery, what kind of warning does this report send?
Look, I think it's a very dire warning. The report, it's an enormously long report with 1,800 references, so it's completely comprehensive. But it's telling us that, you know, a quarter of a species are facing extinction, that the human patterns of land exploitation and the way we use our oceans are really unsustainable, and that we need to change course very soon if we hope to have a habitable planet.
We hear a lot about the risks of climate change, but not about biodiversity. Why do you think that's so, and what kind of global action is needed to respond to it?
Look, I think the biodiversity crisis is sort of reasonably well acknowledged, but people often don't pull all of the threads together to see the big picture. So, for example, people have heard that bees are in decline, and that's a concern to people. People have heard the oceans are full of plastics rather than fish, and that rainforests are declining. You know, when you put all of that together, you see the big picture of biodiversity decline. And what needs to change really is our orientation. The report says, you know, we just can't continue mining the planet's wealth without consequences. We need changes in legislation, regulation. We need new ways of financing, more sustainable technologies. And we just need to make that shift, complete shift from a system where we're acting as rapers and pillagers really of the earth through to one where we're stewards.
The report indicates that rapid deforestation in Queensland and New South Wales, mainly for livestock grazing, is a major issue. It is a crucial export industry for Australia. Is cattle production compatible with sustainability in Australia?
Well, look, it can be. There are people who produce cattle sustainably in this country, but there are also people who do it very unsustainably. So knocking down forest, for example, so that you create a bit of graze for cattle, is just not a sustainable way to go about producing beef. You know, that's it'd be like knocking down the forest to get to harvest the possums that live in the tree hollows. We can do it smarter than that, and some people are. So the industry itself is not the question. It's the methods that are used that are the big issue.
What about population? How can Australia balance biodiversity with the need to feed and house everyone at the current rate of population growth?
Well, you know, the report really has quite a bit to say about that. You know, the population of the earth has doubled over the last 50 years, and the demands of every one of those individuals is increasing. So that they're the big pressure points, really, that are causing a lot of the drivers that are destroying our biodiversity. But, you know, we can do that. We can feed everyone. We can accommodate probably 9 billion people on the planet, at least for a century or so, until the population starts to decline. But in order to do that, we really need to resort to sustainable methods of production. And can I just give you one example of that? You know, here in Australia, out in the desert in Port Augusta, there's a tomato farm that's run just by sunlight. It doesn't use a drop of fresh water, doesn't use a drop of fossil fuels, and yet it produces 10% of Australia's truss tomato crop, you know, the stuff you buy in supermarkets. It's an amazing example of how we can sustainably develop food for the planet if we want. So those are the models we have to look for as we go forward to do things more sustainably.
But as you well know, we've had a very divisive debate about shifting the energy mix in Australia. How do you overcome that?
Well, again, the report makes the point that you know, some people are used to getting subsidies for doing the wrong thing, and that can be a hard pattern to break. You know, so we have to stop subsidising things like fossil fuels. We have to incentivise the uptake of more sustainable technologies if we want to have a future, and they include wind and solar and other renewable forms of energy. And there will be a debate because some people are used to doing things in the old way and people don't like change. But we have to win this battle. We only have one planet, yeah? So we don't have a lot of alternatives if we fail.
Now, the Wilderness Society says no level of government is actually taking responsibility for this, that there is sort of a division within the levels of government as to how they should be addressing it and buck-passing over it. Do you agree? Is that the case?
Look, I think that in terms of Australia's governance system, we've got divided responsibilities. No one is doing it particularly well, and in part that's because of the messy system of governance we've got. But it's also due to vested interests, particularly at the federal level, who just don't want change. I'd say, you know, in my personal opinion, some of the people who do it best are at the local government level, where they're most accountable. There's some states in Australia that are doing good things, but federally we'll need some really significant changes, I think, before we start seeing a change of course.
Next year, China's hosting what's described as the most important biodiversity talks in a decade, where signatories to the UN Biodiversity Treaty will plan a future strategy to stem losses in ecosystems beyond 2020. We've heard in a report on AM that Australia has been accused of being missing in action in those talks. Why isn't there a greater priority?
Well, I just do not get. Are there any Australians out there who don't care that our tropical rainforests are being devastated, or that the Great Barrier Reef is being devastated by climate change? Is there anyone who doesn't want a better outcome there? And, you know, when you get China, which is, you know, home to about a fifth of the world's population, and historically has been one of the great drivers of biodiversity loss through things like the ivory trade, when you get them changing course and inviting you to participate, wouldn't you jump at the opportunity?
Tim Flannery, thanks for joining AM this morning.
Thank you.
Former Australian of the Year and Distinguished Visiting Fellow at the Australian Museum, that's Professor Tim Flannery.